We're going to look at Psalm 34. We're going to look at the first 8 verses. Psalm 34 was written by David. And if you have the little subtitles in your Bible, it says in my Bible, a Psalm of David when he was when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Now, that the story it references there is in 1 Samuel chapter 21, and you don't need to turn to it, but I want to turn back to 1 Samuel 21, and I want to read that story to you. It was a time when David was running from Saul, and to find refuge, he went to the Philistines. And it says in 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 10, "And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath." Gath was one of the kings of the Philistines. "And the servants of Achish said unto him, 'Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing to one another of him in dances, saying, Saul had slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands, scrabbled on the door, scratched on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard." In other words, he drooled. "Then said Achish unto his servants, 'Lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?' David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him." So David wrote this psalm after this encounter with the king of Gath. It was used by Israel when they were alone among their enemies, when they had been captured and they were by themselves when their enemies, and they read quoted this psalm, especially verses 6 and 7. "The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." So this psalm is a good psalm for us to know the story behind. It's a good psalm to read every so often to remind ourselves that when we get in situations when it seems like we're all alone and there's nobody else there with us and our world is falling apart and the troubles that we have are coming down on us, it's a good psalm to remember and to put into practice. David said in verses 1 and 2, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." David was making a promise to God. After he had been delivered, he was between a rock and a hard place. He was fleeing from King Saul, who wanted to kill him because Saul was afraid that Jonathan, his son, wasn't going to get to be the king, that David was going to be the king. And Samuel had already anointed David to be the king. And so Saul was after him to kill him. Again, David, to find refuge, went to the king of Gath, to the Philistines. And the king of Gath, when he first saw David, said, "Oh, I like this guy. He's going to be a good addition to my army." But then his cabinet, the king of Gath's cabinet, said, "Wait a minute, king. This is the guy that the Israelites sang about when he returned from battle against us. They sang that Saul had killed his thousands, but David had killed his 10,000s. Some of those 10,000 that he killed were our brothers. They were our friends. They were our neighbors. They were fellow soldiers in the Philistine army. Are you sure that you want him in the army? We don't. We just soon kill him right now." And David, in order to escape, was led of the Lord to pretend that he was mad. He scratched on the wall. He let a spittle fall down in his beard. And the king says, "Do I need this madman in my army? Why have you even let him come before my presence? Send him away." And David escaped sure death at the hands of the Philistines. And he wrote this psalm and he says, "I'm going to spend the rest of my life praising God because he delivered me from the king of the Philistines. He delivered me from sure death." There's nothing that's going to stop me from telling other people how good my God is. We need to follow his example. God may not have worked in anybody's life here tonight, and I know that's not true. I heard the testimonies tonight. I've heard the testimonies week after week. I know that God has worked in your life in extraordinary ways. He's worked miracles in your life. He's taken care of small details in your life that we've heard about tonight. But I want to tell you something. If our God had done nothing, nothing, nothing in our life, we could spend the rest of our days in all eternity praising him for saving us from hell and never get tired of it. Now, all the other things are just icing on the cake. All the other ways that he's worked in our life are additional reasons for us to praise him. But if he hadn't done nothing else at all, we could spend the rest of our days on earth and all our days in heaven praising our Savior for saving us. We were sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. We need to praise God for our salvation. We need to praise him for what Jesus did for us on the cross. In the book of Romans, the Bible says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth or proved his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We need to praise him for that. We need to praise him as we think back to the cross, as we think to the pain that he suffered there, as we think that he suffered our separation from God for us. I think about that song. I should have been crucified. I should have hung on the cross in disgrace. But Jesus, God's Son, took my place. We need to praise him for that. We need to praise him. We need to start now, and we need to spend all the life we have left on earth praising him for that, and we need to spend all our days in heaven praising him for that. I think that's what the last verse of Amazing Grace talks about. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to praise his name than when we first begun. Paul said, we need to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We need to say like David, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Did you ever notice how sweet the spirit is of somebody that spends their time praising the Lord? They just have a sweet, sweet spirit. It does something. When a person spends their time praising the Lord, it does something to that person. It does something to the people that hear them praising the Lord. I mean, it just warms you up. Our spirits commune with one another, the Bible says. It makes you, as somebody testified, it just makes you feel good all over when you're in the presence of somebody that's praising the Lord. And then in verse 3, David says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. David says, I'm going to praise the Lord as long as I live. My tongue is going to be busy the rest of my life. In all eternity, praising the Lord. Why don't you come and do it with me? Why don't you come and praise the Lord with me? So far, he's been singing solo. But now he invites those that are listening to him. He said, hey, come on. Let's praise him together. Let's exalt him together. I love it when some of our singers that sing, they get to singing and then they invite us to sing with them. Like Brother Wayne did on the offertory tonight. I love it. And I love when we join our voices together and we lift our voices together to God. We sing songs like, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. I love it when we sing songs like, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus the crucified. David says, look, sing with me. praise him with me. Now, you may not know this, but we live in a depressing time. I quit watching the news. I've quit. The only radio station I listen to is the old-time radio station that plays The Shadow and The Green Arrow and Fibber McGee and Molly. I don't like the news because I get depressed when I listen to the news. I mean, there's floods and there's famine, there's wars, there's ISIS, and there's all these things. And then you get into the politics of the nation, and if that doesn't depress you, I don't know what will. But listen. It's so easy, if we're not careful, to get caught up in everything that's going on in the world and to think that God's no longer in charge and to think that God no longer has the power to change things in this world. I want to tell you tonight, my God hadn't changed. He's still in charge. And there's nothing that happens in this world unless he allows it to happen. And we need to join our voices together and we need to praise the Lord and let the depressed world know that we have a God that's bigger than any problem we have. He's that kind of God. And then in verse 4, David gives his personal testimony. He said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I love it when we have testimony times. You know, one of the most powerful things you have is your personal testimony. The world is not looking for an abstract God. The world is looking for a God that's involved. And as you share your personal testimony about what God has done for you, that's the kind of God they're looking for. What better way to tell somebody else about Jesus than by starting and telling them what he's done for you? In fact, I think in its simplest form, that's what soul winning is. I mean, I know there's the Roman roads, and I know different people have different methods for taking people through the scripture, but the best method I've found is just telling people, hey, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. I was a sinner headed for hell. There was nothing I could do to pay for my sin. I was destined to be separated from my Creator forever. But one day I heard the story of Jesus Christ. One day I heard the story of the Son of God. One day I heard the story how he left heaven, came to live among men, lived a perfect life, went to the cross. And when he went to the cross, God laid all my sin upon him. And he died for my sin. And he offers to me the gift of eternal life. That's what happened to me. The same thing can happen to you. I ask him to be my Savior. He saved me. I've been saved ever since. I'm going to be saved forever. I'm going to heaven. He'll do the same thing for you if you let him. At verses 5 and 6, David said, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. David was sharing the testimony of others. He was, again, sharing his testimony, talking about himself as the poor man that cried, and the Lord saved him out of all his troubles. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. And when Louis told me to close that door because he didn't want anybody to be a Christian, no, he was. I knew he was kidding me. I could tell right away he was a kidder. You know, it takes one kidder to know another kidder. And I told Louis when we were shaking hands, I said, I love it when people kid me. That means they love me. That's why Brother Clyde kids me so much. He loves me. That's why I kid him so much. I love him. And Louis, I'll probably kid you now that I know that you're a kidder. But listen. Where am I? Our faces. When we are praising the Lord and when he delivers us out of all our trouble, it ought to show up in our faces. I mean, people ought to be able to tell looking at us and how we look that, hey, there's a person. They may be going through a rough time in their life. They may have troubles in their life, but they have something. They have something because on their face there is the light of heaven. Remember when Moses wanted to see God? God said, you can't see me. If you see my face, you'll die. And Moses kept asking God, I want to see your face. And God said, okay, I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock. I'll put my hand over you. I'll pass by you and I'll turn my back and you can see my backside. And God did that. Remember what happened when Moses came down from the mount? His face shone. I mean, he was in the cleft of the rock with the hand of God over him and all. The backside of God passed before him. And his face shone so much, it was lighted that when he came down, the Israelites said, Moses, put a veil over your face. It's too bright. Can you imagine what our faces are going to look like when we see the Son of God face to face?
Can you imagine the light that's going to be in our souls when the veil is removed and the glass dimly is removed? And like Fanny Crosby wrote, when we see him face to face, oh, what glory that will be. You know, some of that glory ought to show up now. Some of that glory ought to show up on our faces now so that people can see it. Verse 7, David says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." David was running for his life. Saul wanted to kill him. Tried a couple times. Came after him a couple times. He was running. He spent night in caves. He spent night sleeping out under the stars. And I'm sure David worried, is this going to be the night that Saul gets me? Is he going to sneak up on me? Is he going to run a spear through me? Is he going to kill me? And then David thought, no. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about me. I want to remind you tonight, doesn't matter what you're going through. Doesn't matter what trial, doesn't matter what heartache, doesn't matter the circumstances that exist in your life right now. When you pitch your tent, you never pitch it alone. The angel of the Lord is always there. The angel of the Lord camps around about you. 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha, he was giving the king some trouble. And his servant got up early one morning, came back running into the tent. "Master, master, we're in trouble." And Elisha said, "What do you mean?" He said, "We're surrounded. The king's men are surrounded." King's men wanted to kill him. That was the order from the king. Elijah went out the tent and looked around and said, "Don't worry about it, boy. Don't worry about it. There's more with us than there is of them." And his servant said, "What do you mean? I don't see anybody." And Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Lord, would you open his eyes so that he could see?" And the Lord opened that servant boy's eyes, and he saw a band of angels that were camped around their tent, separating them from the king's men. Now, sometimes I wish God would open our eyes. Sometimes I wish we could physically see the angels that are camped around about us when we have no idea that they're there. Sometimes we just got to, in faith, take what the Bible says. The Bible says. God's Word says they are encamped around about us, and they will deliver us. There ain't nobody, bad English, but good preaching, there ain't nobody going to get through the band of angels that surrounds you. Satan may try, the world may try, all the demons of hell may try. But God is more powerful. God is more powerful. And so David says, "I'm going to praise the Lord. I want you to praise him with me. Here's my testimony." He shared the testimony of others. He made the statement, "The angel of the Lord camps around me. He delivers me." And then he says in verse 8, "Taste and see." Taste and see. Don't take my word for it. Try God for yourself. Taste and see. I can remember when I was growing up, my mom and my grandmother would always try to get me to try new things. Spinach, Brussels sprouts, all, you know, cauliflower, all that stuff that I guess is good for you, but when you're a little boy, you don't like it very much. At least I didn't. They'd always say, "Taste it, taste it. You'll like it, you'll like it." I tasted it, I didn't. But here's David saying, "Hey, taste it, taste it. Taste God. Try him out. Put him to the test. You'll see that it's good. He's good. Taste what God has to offer." You're here tonight. You're not saved. You've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me give you the same invitation. Taste him. Try him. What do you got to lose? If he doesn't live up to all that we've talked about, you can walk away having lost nothing. But if you walk away and having not tried him at all, you're going to lose everything. Amen. Everything. What do you got to lose?
taste and see that the Lord is good. Does God hear and answer prayer? Taste and see. What do you got to lose? Put him to the test. Pray big. Ask him. Taste and see if he isn't good. Will God help us get victory over temptations that come into our life? Taste and see. Put him to the test. Try him. Taste and see that he is good. Will he help us when our heart is breaking? Taste and see. Try him. What have you got to lose? He invites us. He said, come on. Come on. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. Taste and see. The Lord is good. Let's praise him together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for David, the psalm writer. Thank you for the words that you gave him to pen that day or that night after he stood before the king of Gath and you delivered him. What an encouragement they are to us. And I pray, dear God, that we would taste and we would see that you are good. I pray if there is somebody here tonight that's never received Christ, they would taste. They would put you to the test. See if you wouldn't keep your word to save them. I pray for the Christians that are here that need something special from you tonight. I pray they would taste and they would see that you are good. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it. Use it. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. If we need to come to the altar, help us to come. Whatever we need to do, help us to be obedient. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.